Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Now, what does the writer really mean? Is he saying that once you've grasped those things, they're no longer important? No, he's saying these are the essential foundational things in everybody's life. But he shouldn't need to be talking to the church about these fundamental essential things. They should already have a grasp on those things. What he is wanting to do is to move them on from the foundational things to maturity. And this, of course, is what needs to happen in every church. Now, you've always got new people coming into a church who need the essential foundational things. So, what's the writer saying, whether it's Paul or whoever it is? Well, he's saying, it's not my job to keep teaching you over and over again about the essential foundational things. That once you know them, you should be teaching the new people coming into the church so that I can teach you to go on to maturity. So what is happening in the church is a continual progress towards maturity, and the people coming in are being taught the essentials by those who have themselves been taught the essentials. So the teachers become teachers, disciples make disciples. And of course, in teaching others, you learn so much more yourself. Every Tuesday morning, I'm the person that gets most blessed in this room because I'm speaking the word, you're only listening to it. And remember what Paul says to Philemon, I pray that you would be active in sharing your faith so that you come to a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So it's good that new believers are taught the truth, then encouraged to teach others, because in teaching others, they will get a much firmer grasp of the truth themselves. Are we at the same meeting here? And also, of course, when you teach others, it's a great encouragement for you to actually live by what you teach yourself. Lest having taught others, you yourself come under judgment. So, praise God, a lot has changed in the last few days, but we've still got empty chairs here in the front because some of the team have slipped back into sitting at the back. But we are moving on to maturity, and we don't need to keep talking about these foundational things. Now, at the same time, the scripture says the call of God is irrevocable.
Amen.
God does not change his call on our lives. So, I think in the light of all that God was doing last week, it would be good for us to stand back this morning and have a look at what God's call is on our lives personally and on Kingdom Faith. Because we're all part of Kingdom Faith, even those of you who are students, you're sort of ex officio members of Kingdom Faith while you're here as students. So, let's take a look at the personal first, and then we'll see the corporate. You can't have a corporate call unless that call is being worked out in the individual members who are part of the body. Hello? So these two things are very closely related. What is God's call on our lives? Well, he was speaking to us quite a bit about that. You see, he wasn't talking to us last week about the foundational things. He's been doing that in recent weeks, especially as we have a whole crop of new students here. So inevitably, we have to talk about basic things of the cross and being in Christ and so on. But last week, he was moving us on to maturity. What did he talk to us about? Well, our aim is godliness. Not to try to determine what is the minimum requirement for salvation, which is what most people in the worldwide church are concerned about, but he wants us to be a godly, a God-like people. Why is that? Because his call will come out of what we are. His call is not just what we do. Hello? His call is to be the people he wants us to be, so that then we will do what he wants us to do. If we try to do the doing without the being, we will discover that we're not that effective. So, the more godly individual Christians are, the more fruitful they will be. The more Christ-like they are as a body, the greater the revelation of God, of his life, his love, and his power will be manifested through that body of people. Are you there? So, it isn't that we sit around trying to be godly before we do anything. The growth in to maturity, to being what God wants us to be, happens as we seek to fulfill the Lord's call to do what he calls us to do. But we have to remember that the call is both to be and to do. To be his people and to do what he wants his people to do. But the two things progress, grow, develop together. So, God has called us to be godly. Aim at godliness. Aim at perfection, the scripture says. Aim at being completely, that means completely the person God wants you to be. Thank you for your encouragement and enthusiasm. But it's great to think that God's estimate of you is that he can make you like him. That shows how much power he has. But if he knows that in the end he will succeed in that task, that when you see him as he is, you will be like him, that shows that nobody, not even you, can prevent him from fulfilling his purpose. He will get his way in the end. He will make you like him. What he wants now is your cooperation so that you can be changed, transformed from one degree of glory to another, so that you can be much more effective in what you do. You can bear more fruit for him. Now, you know, as I was saying last week, not many congregations have godliness as their aim. If you looked at the typical church 5-year plan, godliness probably wouldn't even be mentioned. Hello? Why? Because the plans are usually for action, not plans to become who God wants us to be. Hello? In which case, the plans are never for maturity. You see, to be mature is to be complete, more completely, who God has called you to be. Are you breathing? So, he wants us to be holy. And holiness, you see, we've seen, is not just a state. Oh, we're ever so holy. Jesus lived the holy life, but look how practical his life was. You see, the holiness, of course he was godly, I mean, he was like his Father, he revealed his Father. But you see, how did he reveal his Father? How did he reveal the holiness of God? Well, he preached the gospel, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he cast out demons. Hello? He showed that a holy life leads to action.
Come on. Amen.
It doesn't just lead to prayer meetings where people say, oh, God, you're ever so holy. Holy, 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 Lord. Yeah, we need to worship God in the beauty of his holiness, but holiness leads to action. So Jesus, the Holy One, had compassion, but his compassion always led to action. The love that he showed always led to action. Agape love is the love that gives, it serves, it blesses, it does. You can't have agape, you do agape. Are you there? So, we can see that God's purpose in putting this focus before us is simply the outworking of what it means to be a disciple. I've said to you that a disciple in New Testament times was someone who really, he just hung out with his master. He listened to his teaching. He traveled with him wherever he went. He ate meals with him. He watched him. He perceived him. He was just with his teacher all the time. It wasn't just that he believed that this was the best teacher, so he was going to be taught and sit at his feet. It was much more than that. The disciple always wants to be like his teacher. His teacher is his mentor in every department of his life. Amen? That's what discipleship means in the New Testament. And so, Jesus says, if anyone is going to be my disciple, he's going to have to deny himself. Why? Because he needs to become like his master. And the more he grows in maturity, the more like his master he will be.
It's true. It's good.
You see, what did Jesus say? It's enough for the student to be like his teacher, and for the disciple to be like his master, servant to be like his master. God will be satisfied if you're like Jesus. He doesn't expect you to go beyond that. That is actually the limit of his expectations. But he doesn't have any lesser expectations. And you see, he has put his spirit within you in order to make that possible.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, we talked quite a bit about these things last week. I'm not going to go over it all again. But what do we perceive the church to be? Well, a group of godly disciples. A group of people living in the holiness, the righteousness of God.
Yes, yes.
A people of faith.
Yeah.
That their trust is in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A people of who are dependent upon God's grace and goodness. Amen.
Amen.
A people who know the Lord. They are students of his word, but they know him in experience. This is the church, all right? A people who live lives of self-control, who say no to the flesh and yes to the spirit, because the fruit, the spirit's fruit of self-control is seen in their lives. A godly people. People who are living in covenant love with one another.
Amen.
And a people who are laying down their lives for others. Now that's Peter's description of the church. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and you'll see that. We had that powerful session about participating in his divine nature. Didn't we, last week? Anybody remember that?
Yes.
I remember it. I was so relieved to be able to preach that stuff again. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith and trust in the Lord, goodness, what's goodness? Trusting in the grace and goodness of God. And therefore reflecting that in your life. And to goodness, knowledge, because you're a student of his word, you're living his word in practice, and you know the Lord in experience, not just in theory, you're encountering God. And to knowledge, self-control, you're denying yourself, taking up your cross, following him. And to self-control, perseverance, you're not a giver-upper.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
You persevere even through the problems, even through the difficulties, even through the opposition, even through persecution.
Amen.
You persevere in godliness, you persevere in love, you persevere in faith, you persevere in trust.
Yes.
To that perseverance, godliness. Your aim is godliness. You want to be the person God wants you to be. To godliness, brotherly kindness, you are living in covenant love with one another, honoring one another in love, blessing one another, encouraging one another, fulfilling your responsibilities for one another. And to the brotherly kindness, love, you are laying down your life for others. Inside the church, outside the church, wherever. You are simply living for other people. So this is a disciple.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what's God's call being on Kingdom Faith? Well, just that, really. But historically, we've done it, not talked about it. We've demonstrated it. In practice. But every now and again, God calls his people back. Back to his call, really.
That's it.
Because the weakness of our humanity means that if we don't keep right on the edge of things, we become blunt. And little bits of compromise come into our lives here and there, seemingly not very important at first, but little bits of compromise lead to a bit more compromise. A little bit of indiscipline leads to more indiscipline. It's a slippery slope that once you've allowed the process to begin, it just goes on. So every now and again, God says, enough! Come on, back to your call. Now, that's what God was doing last week. From his perception, he's just bringing us back to where we should have been anyway.
That's right.
It wasn't that he was doing a great new thing amongst us. I mean, for you experientially, for many of you, that would have been the case. But as far as Kingdom Faith is concerned, God is bringing us back to where we should have been.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because he wants to take us on further from where he brought us last week. Do we have any believers this morning?
Amen.
Now, why is this? Because God's call on Kingdom Faith is not to be a church. God's call upon Kingdom Faith is to impact his church and therefore his world. But we can only impact the church by being church in the biblical sense. Hello?
Amen.
There is so much church out there that is not church biblically. The only way the church can be affected is by those churches that are truly biblical. And I don't mean by that they believe the Bible. But I mean they reproduce the life of which the New Testament speaks. That they are a godly, holy, righteous, power-filled, faithful, loving, gracious, merciful people. That are living in covenant love and are living in relationship of love with one another and are reaching out into the world with the life, the love, the power of the gospel of the kingdom of God. So that's God's call actually on every church. But we just happen to realize that it's his call on the church. Therefore, we are called to do it, to be it, to manifest it, to show it forth. Why? Because when the church is what God wants the church to be, then the church will be effective in its ministry. Right, now, let's talk about ministry for a moment. God has a passion. But his passion is for people. So the church is not an institution. It's people. And what he is concerned about is the relationship among those people. Relationship with him, relationship with one another, because his concern is for people. So he wants those who are his people, in that particular sense, to be reaching the world, meaning reaching people in the world. Now, he says that the only people that can reach the world are a people that do not belong to the world. So the people that are going to be effective in reaching people are those people that realize God has separated them from the world. That's what it means to be a holy people. That's what it means to be a godly people. That's what it means to be righteous. That's what it means to be the people he wants us to be. Now, the scripture is clear. That doesn't mean that we cut ourselves off from people. But we do not belong to the standards of this world. We do not belong to the philosophy of life that exists within the nation in which we are put, whatever nation that is, because it's true of every nation. Are we getting this? So what God is concerned about is that his church, which is people, are ministering to people. So his purpose is for every member of the church to have a ministry to people. Now, they may be doing all kinds of other activities, but one way or another, they will be ministering to people. Now, a few of them, their ministry is to minister to people in the church. They are mainly the leadership ministries, the fivefold ministry, because their purpose is to equip the rest of the body for the works of service. So there are those within the body whose remit from God is to train and equip disciples to go and do the business. Hello? Now, of course, to be effective in that, they need to be people that have done the business themselves so they do know what they're talking about. Are you there? Okay, so the vast majority of those within the body are ministering to people beyond the body. Now, the movement is always outwards.
Absolutely.
The purpose is not to gather, but to go out. Because you can only gather when you go out. So it's not a question of waiting for people to come to some wonderful commodity that you have, but it's taking that commodity out into the world, the commodity being the kingdom of God in this context. So those of you who are here as students, you are here for a set period of time to be equipped for your ministry to people for the rest of your life. Now, God knows it's good investment to spend 2 or 3 years being trained so that you will be effective for the rest of your life. That's much, much more effective than just telling people to go out and do it without the opportunity to become what God calls them to be. This is where you have a vast advantage over ordinary congregation members who only, you know, have a diet of the word that is about 1/20th of what you have, who don't have the time and the opportunities in prayer and in discipleship and in other ways to really face issues in their lives that would liberate them and enable them to be more effective in their ministry to people. So you have a kind of intensive program for a couple of years, but at the end of that, God knows he's got somebody that for the rest of their lives he can use to reach people.
Yes.
Which is why it's a good idea if every member of the congregation comes to Bible school at least for a period of time. Because they would be so much more effective for the rest of their lives if that was the case. Remember, in the New Testament church, they met together every day. They came together every day. You know, we probably say, oh, but I mean, come on, society is different now, everybody's busy. Let me tell you, you go to South America, you go to the big revival churches there, they meet together every day. These are people that got jobs, they're reaching out, because they don't just come to meet together, they bring non-believers every day. But they're there worshiping the Lord every day, and they're bringing non-believers every day. Why? Because it's their life. They're not interested in television. Days off, what's a day off? You know, it's they're just so totally given over to the purpose of God. Now, that's what God has worked in them. You don't look very happy suddenly. You see, you can't imagine how a congregation, a modern congregation, could do that unless, you see, they've got such a dynamic of the Spirit operating in their lives that that's what they want to do. You can't make people do that kind of thing. You can't even teach them to do that kind of thing. They just do it because they do it. Because when they come together, they meet with God. And I say, well, how can television compete with meeting with God? I mean, even if it is Arsenal, how can that compete with meeting with God? So last week, when you were meeting with God, you never even missed the television. Never even thought about it. Television was there. So, well, that was for a few days. Yes, but just imagine you being so godly that it happens for a few years. I'm not anti-television or anything like that. It's just what God can work in people that are actually really sold out for him. And therefore sold out for his purposes. Because you can't be sold out for God without being sold out for his purposes. So God is not a hobby. See, for many Christians, he's a hobby. Oh yeah, well, I do Christian just like other people do other things. So I give a proportion of my time to doing Christian. Hello? But it's a way of life, isn't it? It's who we are. It's people reaching people. Now, what does God have to work in us? Not just to get us to want to meet together every day, but what does God have to do in us to really motivate us to be who he wants us to be and to do what he wants us to do? Well, it's very simple. If his passion is for people, our passion has to be for people. Not for converts. But for people. To love people. To see the shop assistant, not as a shop assistant, but as a person.
Right, absolutely. That's it. It's good. Come on.
Who needs to know God.
Amen. Absolutely.
For whom Christ died. For whom he has a divine purpose. Are we making any headway here this morning?
Yes.
So, what does it mean to be in full-time ministry? Whether at Kingdom Faith or anywhere else. What is God's call upon Kingdom Faith? People. What's full-time ministry? Those who are so taken up with people, they haven't got time for anything else except people. We do not have a ministry to computers, but to people.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
We do not have a ministry to a paper trail, but to people.
Amen.
Computers are necessary. I am told that paper trails are necessary. I need to be convinced, but I'm told that they are. But everything has to be focused on people. Why is this person set apart by God for full-time ministry? Because he or she has such a passion for people, and God is using them to reach people. are certain other ancillary ministries, jobs, occupations necessary? Yes, but only to service the reaching of people. Minimum administration, maximum ministry to people.
Amen.
So, you know, you meet with God and immediately he begins to speak to you about how things need to change. Priorities need to change in our personal lives, in kingdom faith, in the church, in our ministry. Ministry is serving people. And what the scriptures teach us is that you can only serve God by serving people. Okay, some people's responsibility is to serve those that are being trained and equipped and prepared to be sent out. But other people, their job is to be having those ministries that are effective in reaching people.
Right.
Now, the call upon kingdom faith is to reach people in other churches as well as to reach people in the world. But at this moment in time, this used not to be as true as it is now, but in this moment in time, we are not sufficiently different from other churches to be able to be effective in impacting them in the way that God wants us to be, wants us to be doing. We are different, but we're not sufficiently different. Which is why God is calling us back to our first love, to being the people he wants us to be, to doing, therefore, what he wants us to do. But you see, this is how he does it. He calls us back to himself. That's what last week was about. Calls us back to himself. Why? Because then you begin to get his heart for people. Listen, without having his heart, people become a job and not a passion. Well, this is what I ought to be doing. I don't want to do it. I find it costly. I find it a challenge. I find it this, that, and the other. So you're trying to make yourself do something because you know it's what you ought to do. Whereas when you have a passion for something, you want to do it. In fact, nobody's going to keep you from doing it. Are we all at the same meeting? There's a little bit of restlessness here this morning. This is essential for us to get hold of. Everything that we do in kingdom faith has ultimately to end in effective ministry to people.
Amen.
Otherwise, we shouldn't be doing it. If it doesn't ultimately influence people, it's a waste of time. Are we there? So, I think it would be definitely true to say that in the coming weeks, months, the ministries of lots of people here in Kingdom Faith are going to change. greeted that well, didn't they, Father? Yes. Because what God wants to do is not to pay people to do a job. He wants to equip them to reach people.
Amen.
He wants to support them to reach people. Now, we've been going through a time of financial struggle. It's been a real challenge. Now, God, we've found historically that whenever that's true, there's always something not right. You know, as soon as you get back into God's order, then the release comes to the financial situation. And we had a trustees meeting yesterday, and I was just talking about some of these things and saying how God is going to reorder Kingdom Faith in the coming months so that we become much more effective as the ministry and church that he calls us to be. Now, there's a long way to go to see how that is going to be outworked. And somebody asked me, well, how is this going to affect the financial situation? Well, of course, it's not about finances. It's about people. But I said, well, God knows our heart. And God knows that when we come into his order and into his purposes, then he will begin the process of the releasing the finances. Because he knows our hearts. And he knows now we're setting our focus on doing what he wants us to do. So the meeting progressed and boom, 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 boom. At the end of the meeting, Gary Schultz came in to say that yesterday morning we'd received in the mail. Is it? Sunday morning offering. Okay. Sunday morning offering, we've got £30,000 over and above what we normally have. But I think it had only just been counted or something. So we didn't know, during the meeting, we didn't know that. But after the meeting, £30,000 over and above. Well, that actually is peanuts compared to what we need to see God supplying. But it's the first sign, you see. Right, get your focus right. Here comes the release now. He said that the financial release would come with a spiritual release. There was a real spiritual release last week. Amen. Now, the spiritual release brings a refocusing. And the refocusing brings the release of the finances. Are we getting the point? So it's not just a question of, oh, Lord, supply. God says there will always be supply for you doing what I'm calling you to do. But why should I supply for what I haven't called you to do? So just get back to your passion for people, for reaching the church and reaching the world. That passion for people. And you'll see that you'll have all the finance that you need and more, because this is a time of abundance. So the 30,000 is a start, but it's not abundance. But abundance is here. And all we've got to do is move with God personally, because none of us can say, oh, well, let God sort it out and everybody else. No, no, every one of us meeting with God, every one of us getting sorted out. Hello. These things about godliness and, adding to your faith, goodness and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Every one of us saying, yes. Every one of us becoming more and more and more and more and more godly, because we become more and more and more and more like Jesus, saying, yes, Lord, our passion is people. People, 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 people. Use me to reach people. Or use me to train people to reach people. Amen. Everything is people, 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 people.
Come on. Right.
Love it.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. So we're going to have an interesting few months. Because you see, Pastor Clive has been teaching for months about God wanting to turn the church inside out. And that's right, isn't it? But I believe that what God is saying is that he's going to turn kingdom faith upside down so that then the church can be turned inside out. Are you getting me? What all this, you know, turning the church inside, absolutely right. But we are going to be more effective in that when God has turned kingdom faith upside down. And it's not getting back to basics. We've got to know the basics. It's going on to maturity, saying, right, come on then. God has done all this stuff with us. God has met with us in wonderful, wonderful ways. Why? So that we can say, oh, what a blessed week last week was. No. He's saying, right now, are you ready? To go. Well, God is training, preparing, equipping us. But you see, those of you who are students, why are you here? You see, you may not know the nature of the ministry that you're going to have in the future. But your God's purpose for you being here may not be your purpose. But God's purpose for you being here is that for the rest of your life, you'll be reaching people. Amen. And you'll be training and equipping people. So what God is going to put into your heart, if you don't have it already, is a passion for people, a love for people, a determination to live the rest of your life to reach people with the gospel.
Yes.
In whatever context, whatever way God calls. But that's what it's about.
Amen.
So God wants to build into all our lives, staff or students, all those godly principles that are going to not only make us more like him, but give us his passion for people. Yes. Amen. Let's all stand. Well, get passionate then. Come on, start asking God to work this in your heart. It's praying for people, witnessing to people, loving people, caring for people, touching the lives of people with his life. It's all about people. To give us your love for people. The kind of love for people that sent Jesus to the cross. The kind of love that is prepared to be sacrificial, to lay down our lives for others. We need your love for your people, Lord. Now we thank you that you've put that love within us by your Holy Spirit. So you want that love to be released through our lives. Help us, Lord, not to see people as objects, but to see them as people who you love, for whom you died, who you desire to draw into your kingdom, that you desire all men to be saved, that you want everyone to come in within the sound of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that you have called each one of us to reach people in some way or another, to train and equip people, some of us, others to go out and meet with people, to love, serve, bless, give, heal, deliver. Thank you that you've called every one of us to impact people with our lives. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor and the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We want to reach people with your life, with your truth, with your love and your compassion. So, Lord, give us that compassion that you have, where you looked upon the multitude and had compassion of them because they were a sheep without a shepherd. Lord, we just look around us at the world and see how many are like sheep without a shepherd. Lord, you've called Kingdom Faith to impact other churches, and we see so many sheep in those churches that really are not being properly shepherded. And Lord, we just want to fulfill our call to reach those churches with the truth and with the dynamic of your Spirit and with the faith that you want to instill in their hearts and lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you love all those people and you don't want them to be wandering around like shepherdless sheep. You want them led into maturity. Hallelujah. Lord, we recognize that some of them don't even know the basics. But we thank you that you are equipping an army of people here that can go out to churches all over the nation, teach the basics, equip people to go out and reach their generation in the places where they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just realize that is part of our ministry, to go out and equip the church to be the church, because in that way, many more people will be reached for the kingdom. So let's just pray that God will show us how we can be more effective in fulfilling that ministry. It's part of the apostolic call. And Lord, we just want you to enable us to be effective in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen, that's not just people on our ministry teams. The church members are going to go out all over this nation. They're going to go into other churches, and as groups of lay people, they're going to show others how to be motivated in prayer, in evangelism, in teaching, in training and equipping. This is what the church is going to be doing. Not just people in full-time ministry. Come on. Let's pray for Kingdom Faith Church. Let's pray for the congregation. That every person in the church will get a passion for people. That everybody will be so well versed in the basics that they can go out to other churches and equip them, as well as going out into the world and reaping the harvest. That those that have been taught can go and teach others and equip them and train them and release them into ministry. So we see a move of God all over this nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can see in the spirit groups of 15 or 20 church members going to a church for a weekend and completely revolutionizing the life of that church in just one weekend. So that church becomes powerful and effective in reaching that town, that city with the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we've got to be effective in reaching Horsham with the gospel so they can then go out and teach others. But you see, this is what God is doing. We've to fulfill our ministry to the nation, because God is going to reach the nation, not through one church, but through churches all over the nation. So churches all over the nation have got to become what God wants them to be. Come on now, let's really just pray in the spirit about this. Ombra zatari eleto mazuturi sarato bakara sitri sandama. Barandari eleto para zatari eleto bakara sitri sandama. Barandari eleto riazato bakara sitri zato bakara sitri sandama. Ombra zatari eleto bakara sitri zatuba. Borata para zata para zatu bakara sitri zatuba. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, we're going to pray that the congregation here is going to be more effective and fruitful in reaching Horsham, Crawley, 25-mile radius. To see people being saved every day. 7 a week, but listen, 7 a week will only do for the first month. It's got to increase after the first month. We can't stay at only 7 a week for longer than 1 month. Amen? It's got to be more than that, because God is releasing something now, isn't he? Isn't he? And you see, this the momentum is going to carry us forward. This is the spirit of advancement, yes? This is the spirit of acceleration, so things are going to accelerate. We start with 7 a month, and then we move up from there. 7 a week, and then we move up from there. Yeah. Amen. Come on, let's pray this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Purata parazatari eleto pakara sitri satuba. Barata parazatari eleba karasitri satupa karasitri sandama. Barata parazatapa karasitri saratupa karasitaba. Baparazatari eleba karasitri satari eleba. Barata parazatari eleba karasitri satupa karasitri sandama. Barata parazatari eleba karasitri satupa karasitri sandama. O paparazatari eletu pakarasitri sarato parazato pakarasitri sandama. Om prazatari eleta pakarasitri sarato realetu ba. Barata parazatari eleta pakarasitri satuba. Borondari eletu pakarasitri sarato pakarasitri sandaba. Borondari eletu pakarasitri sarato realetu pakarasitaba. Borondari eletto bakarasit risato bakarasito. Hallelujah. 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 Now, this spirit of advancement, this spirit of acceleration is going to be more and more evidenced in our lives. But he is also the creative spirit. I want us to pray now that not only will every person be a witness, and a faithful witness, but people, different people, not just in the leadership, but different people will get strategies from God for reaching other people. I don't mean, you know, evangelistic events. We've done quite a lot of those. And yes, that we will still continue to do those. But you know, if you get something from God, when God says, if you do this and this and this, then the result will be boom. That's what we want. So let's just pray that people will get divine strategies for reaching people. Divine strategies for reaching people. Purata parazatari eletu bakarasitri satuba. Barata parazatata parazitri satuba. Barata parazatari eletu bakarasitri sanduba. Barata parazatari eletu bakarasitri saratu bakarasitri sanduba. Barata parazatari eletu bakarasitri sanduba. Barata parazatori saratu bakarasitri sanduma. Barandari eletu bakarasitri saratori eletu bakarasitri sanduma. Barandari elena mazotri saratari eletu bakarasitri sanduma. Borondori azatu bakarasitri satu bakarasitri sanduma. Barata parazatari eletu bakarasitri saratu bakarasitri sanduma. Yes, 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 yes. Barata parazatari eletu bakarasitri sanduma. Barata parazatari eletu bakarasitri saratu bakarasitri sanduma. Barata parazatori eletu bakarasitri sanduma. Barandari eletu bakarasitri saratori eletu bakarasitri sanduma. Om prasatari eleta bakarasitri saratu bakarasitri sanduma. Om prasatari eletu bakarasitri saratu parasanduma. Brondari eletu bakarasitri saratu parasatu bakarasinama. Brondari eletu bakarasitri saratu parasatuba. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, put your passion for people in every single one of us, in every member of Kingdom Faith. A real passion for people, Lord. A real longing, a real desire that they won't see this as something they ought to do, but that they will do out of love, out of longing to reach more and more people with your truth. And we give you glory. Lord, just release something by your Spirit in and among us, we pray. Purata parazatari eletu bakarasitoba. And Lord, we invite you to turn kingdom faith upside down in whatever way you need to in order to make us more effective in reaching people. And Lord, we believe that as you turn kingdom faith upside down, so you would turn the church inside out, and we shall see revival in Horsham, the 25-mile radius. We will see the harvest, a rich, rich harvest. And thank you, Lord, that as people become our focus, the release of all the finances will continue to come, and we shall have your abundance to reach people. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Bless your wonderful name. Come on, we can really thank the Lord now. Hallelujah. Now we're just going to pray for all the students. Hallelujah. That God will give you such a passion for people while you're here, that for the rest of your lives, you will be reaching people with the gospel. Come on now. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That he will equip you, train you, do whatever he needs to do in you, not so you accumulate knowledge, but so that you reach people. Hallelujah. Sato barazatari eletto bakarazito ba. Barata parazatari eletto bakarazito ba. Barata parazatari eletto bakarazito risato ba. Barata parazatari eletto bakarazito ba. Oh, yes. Now, Lord, help all of us not to lose sight of all those things that you were teaching us last week, that we will be the people you want us to be so we can do the things you call us to do. So, Lord, let our aim still be godliness, so that when we reach people, we reach them with godliness and holiness and righteousness and truth, so that, Lord, they become as we are. That we reproduce ourselves in others. So, Lord, continue to reproduce yourself in us, that then we may reproduce you in others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Torasata. Come on, we need to be just as thankful about this. Hallelujah. Transforming us into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. We praise you. I want you to turn to those around you and say, when Jesus welcomes you into his kingdom, into his heavenly kingdom, he's going to say, well done, because of the harvest that's been produced in your life. Just turn to at least three or four people and say that.